Do you want to leave this here or you want to put it back over there?
Whatever's fine.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Evan Bernholtz. I'm going to be talking about my master's degree project, which was completed at the Drexel University School of Public Health last spring. It was a project that took place in a heart failure clinic. It was focusing on cardiovascular disease epidemiology and patient adherence to heart failure treatment, quality of life, and the association between those variables. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So just to give a brief intro on the disease of interest, congestive heart failure has become a very widespread problem in the United States in recent decades. As the population gets older and more people survive from serious adverse events such as heart attack and stroke, it means that a greater number of people are being diagnosed with heart failure. It is currently estimated that 5 million Americans suffer from the disease, with 550,000 new cases and 300,000 deaths occurring in this country each year. And as with any cardiovascular disease, heart failure is characterized by a series of cardiac risk factors: coronary artery disease, diabetes, hypertension, smoking, etc. We became interested in exploring the issue of adherence because it's a very challenging problem for both patients and physicians. Heart failure is a very complex disease that requires vigorous daily participation in order to effectively manage it, which sometimes means having to execute big lifestyle changes. Patients often have to take anywhere from 4 to 10 different heart failure medications 3 or 4 times a day, every single day, for several months at a time. There are dietary restrictions. Patients have to monitor their sodium and fluid intake. They have to closely monitor their weight, make sure they get healthy exercise, and track any and all symptoms they may be experiencing. There have been studies that have documented the health impact of non-adherence, specifically focusing on serious outcomes like increased rates of hospitalizations and mortality. But very few studies have examined how adherence is associated with quality of life, which is an equally important outcome of interest from a public health perspective. And to the extent that researchers study adherence in the heart failure population, they usually only focus on one single aspect of it. For example, following patients to see how well they keep up with their medications, which is a very important thing to follow, but it's just one piece to the adherence puzzle. So our goal was to measure patient adherence as a function of several different behaviors, and then assess whether or not there was a clear relationship between their composite adherence with their overall physical and emotional quality of life. We also wanted to evaluate any significant differences in adherence and quality of life in terms of their demographics, and explore the role that comorbid conditions might play. As I said before, this is a project conducted at a heart failure clinic in Philadelphia. It was designed as a cross-sectional, self-administered survey study during normal patient visits, in which we collected data for a little more than 3 months in early 2008. We used two survey instruments in this study. One was a patient behavior survey, which was developed for this study. It measured how well the patients adhered to recommended treatment guidelines during the past month, as well as how important the patients perceived these behaviors to be. Behaviors such as taking heart failure medication, sodium and fluid restriction, weight monitoring, and exercise. And based on their responses, patients were given a composite adherence score expressed as a percentage. The other survey was a quality of life tool, the Minnesota Living with Heart Failure Questionnaire, which asked patients to rate how well they felt heart failure affected them physically and emotionally in the same time frame. We obtained informed consent from patients to examine their medical records in order to confirm the diagnosis of several different comorbidities, and then we pooled the data and analyzed them using a variety of statistical tests. Just a very quick note about adherence. Adherence is something, it's a very broad construct. It can be measured in a number of different ways. For the purposes of this study, we defined it as the ability of the patient to follow recommended guidelines for a series of different treatment behaviors, but we had to adjust the patient's adherence scores to account for 3 different factors: exercise intolerance, physical disability, and recent hospitalization. And the reason we did this was to control for some level of error in measuring the adherence behavior of the sample. For example, if a patient listed that they did not exercise and they did not weigh themselves during the past month, you might assume that based on their adherence score that they were not adherent to their treatment, they weren't following the rules. But in fact, maybe that same patient had difficulty doing these things because they were unable to walk, or they had enough severe symptoms at rest such that they couldn't exercise at all. So basically, we wanted to make sure that patients were not being penalized in their adherence scores for being physically unable to do the things that under normal circumstances they might be able to do. So we applied the adjustment using a series of complex statistical formulas, which I won't really go into right now, but I will say that this adjustment resulted in a net increase in the overall adherence of the sample. And just to be safe, we analyzed both the unadjusted and adjusted adherence scores with respect to quality of life. We collected data from 125 patients with an average age of about 57, 58 years old. The sample predominantly consisted of men and white patients. There was a substantial turnout of African American patients given the large population of African Americans living in Philadelphia. Most of the sample was unemployed, disabled, or retired. A large chunk of the sample had an education just at the high school level, and a majority earned an income of less than $50,000 per year. There was also a fairly evenly split distribution of patients in terms of their New York Heart Association heart failure class, with one being the least severe class and four being the most severe. In terms of adherence, most patients reported taking their heart failure medications every day or nearly every day. But as you can see in the table, patients generally did not report the same level of adherence to other self-care behaviors. And notice that only 35% of patients reported weight monitoring and 21% reported exercising on a daily or near daily basis. So there are some gaps in their adherence behavior. And the table on the right shows the median quality of life scores, which to you probably doesn't mean anything because these are not percentages, they're just the raw scores. But if you look at the next slide, this shows a graphical distribution of both adherence and quality of life. The mean adjusted adherence for the sample comprised of all survey behaviors was almost 70%. You'll also notice that adherence was normally distributed throughout the sample, whereas the quality of life scores were very non-parametric. One thing I should mention is just based on how the survey items were constructed, increasing adherence score means better adherence. But for the Minnesota Heart Failure Survey, the increasing score on the Minnesota survey means worse quality of life. So the median score for the quality of life survey was 44, and people above that had comparatively worse quality of life. So what factors were closely associated with adherence? We constructed a linear regression model that calculated a significant increase in adherence for patients that had certain comorbid conditions compared to those that didn't. You see an 8% higher adherence score for patients with renal disease, 6% higher adherence score for those with angina, and 15% higher for those with severe valvular disease. So comorbidities seem to predict better adherence, which makes some intuitive sense, because if you're suffering from a number of conditions, surely you're more likely to follow your disease management plan much more closely and take it a lot more seriously. But on the other hand, weight gain predicted worse adherence. Patients who gained 1 to 4 pounds in the past month had about 8.1 percent lower adherence scores, and those who gained 5 pounds or more had 11.6 worse adherence scores. And this result was quite amazing because considering that weight gain, it was a self-reported measure in this study, and yet the statistical relationship appeared to be pretty strong. And all these variables were either statistically significant or approaching significant, and the relationship was the same using both the adjusted and unadjusted adherence measures. As for quality of life, we found that worsening class of heart failure, indicated by increasing New York Heart Association class of the disease, was strongly associated with poor quality of life outcomes after adjusting for a number of demographic factors. patients with moderate symptoms were more than four times as likely to report poor quality of life compared to those with mild heart failure, and the relationship was much stronger for patients in the most severe heart failure group. Our data also showed a few other interesting results. When we stratified the sample in terms of race, in the first table above, minority patients were significantly more likely than white patients to be unemployed, have low income, and be hospitalized in the past month, which are potentially strong indicators of a racial disparity in terms of quality of life. And also note that the white patients were on average about 6 years older than minority patients, which likely means that the minority patients in this sample were being diagnosed with heart failure at an earlier age. And in the table below, we saw that the most dominant predictor of adherence, which was weight gain, was strongly associated with the most dominant predictor of quality of life, their heart failure class. The more severe the heart failure, the greater percentage of subjects that reported weight gain, which may speak to the importance of weight control in managing disease symptoms. So we found that in this study, higher adherence scores did not directly predict better quality of life. But as I said before, comorbidities seem to predict better adherence in the sample, and again, the most dominant predictor of adherence, weight gain, was strongly associated with worsening class of heart failure. And another important finding is that we also measured gaps in the adherence behavior and possibly a big racial disparity in terms of quality of life. This study benefited from certain strengths, such as a high participation rate, about 80%, 82%. We were able to measure adherence taking into account multiple factors rather than just a single one, like taking medication. And the patient behavior survey was found to be a reliable survey instrument, and most patients reported that it was easy to understand and complete. But the study also has its limitations in that the data is representative of only one heart failure clinic, therefore we can't yet generalize it to the entire population. We didn't measure adherence on the part of the provider. Adherence is really a two-way relationship between doctor and patient, but we didn't focus on any provider-related factors, which are important to recognize for future research. And another limitation is that, well, as I said before, adherence is a very broad construct. It can be defined and measured in lots of different ways. We did it one way by combining various adherence behaviors and adjusting the score to account for a couple confounders. But, and you know, to borrow a very often overused phrase from our election season, it was a bit of a maverick strategy. So this approach should really be validated in future heart failure research to see if this was to see if that's a good measure of adherence. So to that end, we recommend that future studies on adherence in the heart failure population focus on aggressively controlling weight in patients to prevent symptom exacerbation and prevent them from advancing to a greater stage of heart failure. It'd be of great interest to determine the long-term benefits of adherence on quality of life and to explore the methods to improve adherence among patients at early stages of the disease rather than those that suffer from a number of comorbidities right there. And finally, to address the racial and socioeconomic disparities, we think researchers should evaluate strategies to improve quality of care and quality of life outcomes among underprivileged patients. Excuse me. I did not include an acknowledgement slide because I really have way too many people to thank for this study, but this is just some suggested reading on which I based some of my figures in here, and feel free to check them out yourself, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to take them. The question was, what are physician-associated variables for adherence? Making sure that they, like nurses, keep on track, call monitoring them to make sure that they that patients stay on top of their medication. Make sure they stay on top of keeping their appointments. There were a lot of no-shows in the clinic. On a typical day, you would get 15 people scheduled to come into the clinic. only 10 would show up, and I would only get a chunk of that to participate in the study. So those are just a few things with the provider adherence.
Other questions?
Oh, well, I mean, I probably didn't mention that in the regression model, we did we adjusted for the broad variables of age, race, and heart failure class, and other things, and education. But you're absolutely right. It's a really good point. I forgot the point that I was going to, I was going back to the linear regression model. But you're right. I mean, adherence can be defined in any number of ways. We weren't so much interested in the why. People may not have been adherent with their treatment. It was more of just the what, just to see if non-adherence was there. And we saw some gaps. But you're right. I think for future research, it would be very important to discuss those other socioeconomic factors. I think there's a whole list of health policy doctorates that could be earned from that. But I appreciate your question.
Other questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, our third speaker will be on sleep disorders and secondhand smoke in Haines 2005 to 2006. Alberto Caban Martinez.
Yeah, so you have some writing space. Okay.